listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Chronically Automated, the show that talks all about smart systems for messy realities. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
And I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco.
Today is going to be, I don't even know what to say about today because we're not going to lie. We use AI to help us come up with ideas, to ideate. And then we take those ideations, right? And we expand on them with our own brains. We have conversations about what we're going to talk about on the show before we talk about them. And as I was reading through the topic we picked for today, I'm just laughing. And I know Anthony's probably laughing with me because I was like, oh, so it's all about me again. Like, oh boy. Because we are going to talk about crisis mode as a business strategy and why that's a trap. And what we mean by this is, and I guess you don't have to obviously be neurodivergent to experience this, but if you're experiencing this, you may want to take a step back and kind of look at yourself deeply and think, oh, maybe I do have ADHD or anxiety, because this is something that happens in this world a lot. And it's when I feel really focused and calm when things are on fire. And I know Anthony has experienced this because he's like, Megan, I'm kind of freaking out. I don't know what I did. Like, something's not working. Like, I think I pushed the wrong button. And I come in and I'm just like, here we go. Like, it's fine. And I'm all calm and like totally fine.
It's like you're almost circling.
It's kind of like, so what they say, for ADHD, you know, your brain doesn't stop moving and it's always moving and it's constantly moving. So when things are on fire and things are moving really rapidly, your brain kind of just fits right in, right? It's like the normal chaos that's in my brain every day. And when things are super calm, it's almost like a paralysis feeling where that's when I get anxious. That's when I'm like waiting for the other shoe to drop or waiting for something to break or like looking around, like trying to find a problem that isn't there, which is completely unhealthy and not okay. And then urgency and the speed to urgency is where I see clarity, right? Like I don't know why, but it's very clear to me. You know what I have to do. There's a problem. I have to fix the problem. That's very clear as day. So when things are super calm, and if you've ever noticed when things are kind of just calm and kind of moving along, there's not a problem to solve. There's nothing to fix. And that's what I specialize in, right? Like fixing complex problems and these business problems and like making them easier and simplifying. And I know that that's really why I went into this, right? Because there's always something to fix. As an entrepreneur, there's always something to fix in technology. And when I look back at it now, I'm like, oh, that's probably exactly why I went into this field. Because I joke about it with Anthony and our inner circle all the time. Like, what on earth made me decide that technology was a good thing to go into? Like, yes, I want to do this, please. Like, I want to fix broken shit all the time. And now I'm reading our topic for today and I'm going, I really do fix broken shit all the time. Like, that's what I love.
Yeah, I mean, technology is not perfect. That's the thing.
No. And it's, I will say this. So subconsciously, and what we've researched and what I've read, and I'm telling you from my own personal experience, this is why it's destroying you. Because subconsciously, there are times when I let things fall apart so I can step in and fix them. That is not okay, right? So obviously, throughout the years, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, I don't do that anymore, where I have to like let something break so I can fix it. No, I will go find, I consider myself like a continuous learner, right? Like I'm all, okay, you know what? It's calm right now. So I'm going to go find something else that I can fix, meaning I'm going to go learn a new technology and actually like all learn how to code Python, which means for the first however many weeks, I'm going to be breaking the crap out of it because I don't know what I'm doing, right? So I've learned how to channel the calm state into other things. And I have this, I don't know about you, Anthony, I don't know if you do this or not, but I have this big, giant list. It's a Google Doc and it's, my God, it's probably like 27 pages long now. And it's like my vomit document. Whenever I get an idea in my head that isn't needed right now, but I know that in the future, it's either something I want to learn, something I'm interested in, or something future state, like could help the business, push us forward, whatever. It goes on that list. And they're kind of categorized. And so I have this big, giant list of things. And so whenever I feel kind of this chaos where everyone else is feeling calm, like everything's going good, and I'm kind of like, oh my God, what do I do? I go to this list and I just pick stuff off of it and teach myself something new, learn something new, figure out how to make it work or not work, and if it doesn't work, it's fine. But for everyone else out there, and Anthony, I want to hear your take on this because I don't think you're quite the same as I am in the fact that you are like cool with the chaos, or maybe, I mean, I don't think, I think you do okay, but I don't think you want it there to be chaos.
Well, here, let me explain that. And that's so awesome. That's why you're so, such a, not only a great friend, but you know, a great business partner as well, that, you know, you're always there, especially when things are not working the way I think, or your clients might think, or whomever might think it should be working, right? You're always right there, and you have a calm demeanor about you. Now with me,
I just want to say, which is super funny, that all of my inner circle, my community, as far as like business is concerned, says that about me. I hear that a lot, and my kids would probably tell you completely otherwise. Like, mom's crazy.
Well, yeah, because you can't control that. You can't control chaos. That's a whole other level of chaos, right? But for me, like every day, right? I mean, I'm a salesperson, and I am rebuilding my entire career and my life and everything. So every day has to consist of moving the needle forward with, you know, sales, with connecting with people, with, you know, making sure that I'm executing on my campaign. So yeah, I don't want any white noise in between, you know, 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock or anything like that. That time for me is always
tunnel vision, right?
I can absolutely find what I'm doing. Something moves around, great. I'm going to move back to, you know, maybe some outreach on Navigator or LinkedIn or obviously DMC. And, you know, what happens sometimes is when the technology is not working the way I think it should work. And Megan knows this. We see it once in a while. Once, okay, Anthony, you might get kind of crazy and, you know, you might get anxious. Yes, that was one time. Well, it's kind of like now, I think we can fit it on our fingers on one hand, but still there is some times where it's like when you're in that groove and something's not working the way you want it to, and then all of a sudden that forward movement is not moving forward because of some things that are not happening with technology.
Right. Or you think they're not. Let's use today's example as a good example.
Exactly. Correct.
So it's super funny because we're going to use a real world example. So when when you're experiencing this kind of, whether you're a someone who likes the calm or someone who likes the urgency, it doesn't matter. You need to find a system that is going to pivot with you for both of those scenarios. That's really the gist of this entire conversation, is you need to have time-triggered prompts, and you need to have a smart enough system that when you're a salesperson and you upload a list of 12,000 people and half of them have emails and half of them do not, you can build one workflow. And if there's an email portion of the workflow, it skips that portion because it's smart enough to know, oh, well, this contact, Megan, doesn't have an email, so we don't need to run that action. So what the system does now, and it's really funny because when you build workflows, they're top down, right? They're very step by step, which is what you want them to be, but it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that the system is, and this is because there's so many shitty ones out there. The system is smart enough to know, like, that first action is to send an email. The system is smart enough to know to look at that contact record and go, oh, well, there's not an email available, so I can't send an email. Awesome. I'm going to skip. And it moves and it skips that and moves to the next section. And then it does the next section. And then it does the next section. So there's a little bit of that going on, right? Like, understanding it's also, how do I say this the best way? It's kind of mind-blowing for Anthony right now because he's just experiencing all these things. I've had this system now for 2 years, and so I've been working with it. So it's not as cool to me anymore. That's not the right word. But yeah, but it's really amazing and cool because it's doing the work for you. It's doing the hard work for you, so you don't have to do it. But what happened today is, it's something we have to check out, is there was someone in there that does have an email, but it doesn't look like an email got sent. So then that's when the troubleshooting troubleshooting steps have to happen, because that person didn't get an email, but the other people did. So it's a little, you know, so sometimes that happens, right? And that's when the chaos hits. And the only thing I can say to Anthony, and I'll say it now live in front of everybody, is, you know what? The good part about this happening is that it was one. The bad part about it is we don't know why, so we have to do some extra troubleshooting, which is where I come in. And that's when Anthony will message me and say, okay, listen, everybody else got their email. Why did this guy? And generally, you know, systems do that, but it's super frustrating for myself and Anthony with our chronic diseases and illnesses and the way that we look at the world. It's incredibly freaking frustrating because it should just work. And sometimes it doesn't. And then you have to, like, reacclimate yourself. And I work off the 80-20 rule. If 80% of my lists or my systems it's working, and or 80% of the people that I'm trying to reach, if the thing that I'm doing reaches 80%, and then there's that 10% or, you know, 20% that I have to go in and adjust and troubleshoot, I'm fine with that. But it's taken me a very long time to get there. And I'm not a salesperson that is relying on daily numbers and goals that I have to hit. I am able to pick and choose my own daily numbers, and mine are, it has to be at least 80% of my list. So now, obviously, when Anthony is working with us with DMC, that's what we expect, right? Like, it's 80%. Like, we're not going to say that he has to get this amount of book calls. You know, like, if he's got a list of X amount of, if you can reach 80% of those people, however you reach 80% of those people, that's awesome. Like, we're good. Because we know, in reality, that there are systems in play, and we know that it's silly of us to think this day and age that you have to reach a certain amount of numbers. And I don't know. I think about that that world very different. A lot of people are still very old school when it comes to sales, and that's fine. For me, it's all about conversations, and it's all about him having the conversations with the right people, it's less about the quantity of calls that he's making and more about the quality of the calls that he's making so that we are getting the right people in play. Anyway,
well,
let me off on a tangent.
Yeah, let me put it in perspective here, right? So I have multiple revenue streams, right? I mean, I post about this on LinkedIn all the time, and I do. And one of my revenue streams is I'm a tech I have a tech sales agency. So I have clients that I am reaching out on their behalf of lists and things like that. Now, sometimes when the system, and that's more of my ignorance, that I am seeing the system not doing what it might not be, what I think it might not be doing, I freak out. And again, like, that's something that is, you know, again, as Megan said, that's something that we struggle, that we deal with all the time because of our conditions, right?
Yeah.
So with me, multiple sclerosis, anxiety, you know, that's associated with that. But
one thing I want to say again is this.
Every morning that I get up, I do a little meditation. And one thing I say to myself is I want to have more faith in terms of what I do. And every time I freak out, and I can tell you this 100% of the time, I freak out. If I had faith in you, in the system, I would not have that anxiety. And that is really, you know, that's something that is, you know, that comes with time, I guess. But yeah, it's just truly amazing.
It will come with time because you'll start to realize. So something, and again, this is also something that took me a very long time doing operations for a very long time, right? So something that's taken me a long time to get to that point is you cannot freak out over one, right? So your lists, Anthony, and we'll just troubleshoot it right now. I mean, your lists are 10,000 people or 5,000 or even 1,000 people. So when one email errs out, keep doing it. Just go through the rest of it. And then we will know, we can go back through after the fact and be like, okay, so you had 5 emails or 10 emails that aired out. Let's go figure out why. But like you said, so I was so proud of you because this morning you sent me those messages and you said, but I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm just going to power through the rest of them.
Well,
that's what you have to do. That's right there.
That's a huge lesson. If anyone's going to take that, that's a life lesson right there.
Yeah.
You just have to keep going no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, with technology and in the conversation that we're having right now, you know, that's something that is not going to hold me back to, all right, man, I can't do anything until this is resolved. Well, what's resolved? You know, what is the problem? I'm still able to make calls.
But this is the exact reason. Yeah.
Right.
But everything you're talking about, this is the exact reason. And again, we are not here to sell you. Obviously, do we want all of you wonderful people to come work with me and Anthony? Of course we do. But we're not here trying to sell you. We're just trying to sell you on the idea of it doesn't matter what system. You find the system that works for you, but you have to find a system that adapts with you. On the good days, it adapts and it's set up so that the good days are like, when Anthony's like rocking and rolling on a good day, I get all these like happy emojis and he's like so excited and like you can like feel the dopamine through the Slack message. It's crazy. It's like, this is so good for him. Awesome. And then on the bad days, it also adapts. But he's learning to adapt to the days that are not as good. I wouldn't even call it a bad day. I would call it not as good as the other day. And bad day would be nothing works. You know,
I will give you an example. you know, a bad day for me this week, not a bad day, but I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
I think Monday night into Tuesday. So I woke up Tuesday not feeling the greatest. And it was not because of my MS. It was because of some other thing. It was a 24-hour that I had. So, you know, in that case, but you know what? Here's the thing. That was one of the best days I ever had because I was able to schedule meetings. I was able to execute everything. And the reason why is I was able to do that without really worrying about it. And I guess bringing it back to what we're talking about now, I'm not leading, not leaning into chaos. My whole life is not defined by chaos. You know, it was really accepting what the, you know, what the feeling, the chaos is, but really having the faith, as I said before, really having the faith in the system that you have to really help you through in such certain ways. And when you strip that out, oh man, it's so powerful. And you're like, wow, this actually is pretty good.
The smartest thing that I ever did, you know, because I have this really powerful system, and I have part of my system is I have a person, and I have, well, you know, multiple people now that we have formed this small team. And same with Anthony, you know, he's slowly becoming more and more integrated with our team. And I have a feeling eventually it'll be a full-time thing and he'll be on the team and he'll make number five. Right? Oh, number six, technically. But this is a really small, tight-knit team. We help each other out when shit hits the fan. We're there for each other. We talk to each other. We, you know, we just had a really great brand build session where we were just talking about this. Like, Nat's personality is a little different than mine and Darren's, and he gets really upset with people when they're, you know, they're rude and disrespectful, right? And he should be. And so when that happens with clients that we work with, he's like, keep me away from that person. Not that I'm not going to help the team do the stuff that we're working on, the projects and the tasks and all this stuff, but somebody else needs to deal with the one-on-one interaction because this person's personality sucks, you know? And it's really great because then there are times when I'm like, I have no, Nat, this is all you. Like, I'm not, this is all you. And so what's great about that system, right? So now we have the actual technology in place and we have the team in place and it's all just kind of this well-oiled machine. So when Anthony gets like that, he knows, like, he is fully able to rely on me. And I will be there. Will it be instantaneously? Not all the time because, you know, we're all busy. But he's never had to wait more than, well, one time, but we were busy, 24 hours. I mean, usually it's 4 to 6 hours, you know, and he'll get an answer to his question or I'll be in the system and I'll troubleshoot.
I'm learning to answer my own questions.
Right. Or we get on a Zoom and I'm like, let's do this live so I can show you. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing too, is that you need to learn how to do certain things, or you need to know what the answer is. So then you can say that, listen, this is not working for this reason. And I know in my mind, so you're then taking that in your mind and you're able then to, you know, just understand it and, you know, set the expectations for yourself. And then that way it kind of reduces the anxiety a bit.
Exactly. And you need to find, again, this is something we offer our customers too, right? So like, if you're using a system like this, like a piece of technology that's supposed to do a lot of the heavy lifting with automation workflows and all this stuff, you better damn well make sure that their support team is doing something like what we're doing. Like, we just created this community. I'm going to go live with people. They have access to me to ask questions. Now, obviously, that doesn't include custom work per se. There's extra that goes along with that. But as far as tech support is concerned, we are on top of that, which is why the community exists. And we do these live Q&A calls where people can ask questions and I pull up my screen and we teach them step by step how to do things. And then they get access to a network of all of the other people that are also using the system that they can ask questions like, oh, hey, like, how are you? We're using workflows, Anthony. What are you doing for this? What are you doing? And he is going to have the ability to go back and forth with other people that maybe are doing the same thing, which if you don't have that, like if you're using a software tool and you don't have access to those types of resources, no offense, but that is probably not the tool you should be using because this tool runs your business.
And here's another great lesson, right? I mean, it really comes down to, you know, reducing the anxiety, knowing yourself, knowing how you operate in certain situations and surrounding yourself with the right people in the right environment. 100%. And that's the key. The technology is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But when you have the right people that's supporting it, you have user groups and things like that. And if it's not too crazy, too big, then yeah, people are going to relate. Maybe I'm going to be able to help someone that is, you know, a little bit below where I am, and they'll probably end up right here in no time. But I'm just saying, like, that is such a huge, I mean, that's so under, that's really just, I mean, that's just tremendous.
Technology is technology. You can find 12 different pieces of software that do the same thing. More. Hundreds upon hundreds. There's 100 plus CRMs out there that are huge and popular. I don't care which one you pick. Pick any one of them. But the customer support and the tech support are the two things that make or break a brand or a company, especially when it comes to software. So if you're not getting the tech support that you need, and honestly, this is why we've got a handful of clients now, customers, I call them clients, but customers that have moved over to us because of our support and our technology. And so again, really not trying to sell it, but if you are looking for a system, the first thing that you should vet out is their customer support and their tech support. Because everything else, those are just features, right? And 90% of whatever software you're looking for, emails, CRM, like, it doesn't matter. There's hundreds of them out there, right? And now that AI is in play, there's tens of thousands of more coming, you know?
People are building it all the time. People don't know what to use, and they're chasing the big shiny red ball and everything like that too. So,
yep.
Anyway, but chaos. Anyway. Leaning into chaos, leaning into solutions and really good people and great technology. But you know what? The key here is that our brains, the way that we are built, sometimes we do. And we have to account and build for that too. And building for that means surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yep. This was such a great conversation, but I want to circle it back. So the fix for this, when it comes to, if you're somebody like myself who is like urgency equals clarity, if that's what you want to call it, you love the chaos, right? There's a few things that you can do to kind of fix that, because knowing that that's probably not the best way to live your life, because you're always going to be waiting for the chaos to hit, right? Using time-triggered pre-crisis prompts or automations that interrupt before the chaos hits. So here's a great example. Payment systems. We have a three-step process. If your payment fails once, it'll auto retry three times. So it'll go three times. And then if it fails the third time, your subscription is canceled. I get a notification, I get a text notification, and so the customer gets a notification that says, hey, you know, this failed, your subscription is going to be canceled. And the reason we do three times is because shit happens, right? People's life, shit happens, you know, you're transferring money from, who knows, it doesn't matter, shit happens. Credit cards are the worst, debit cards are the worst, right? Like, stuff happens with that crap all the time. So you get three tries. We notify you the first time it fails, and then we notify after the third attempt. And in that first email, you'll get a message that says, "Hey, this failed. It will auto try again two more times. After the third time, you get canceled. And then after it cancels, we send you right." So that's a pre-crisis prompt, right? We have notifications for our workflows, for our emails, for like when, or like social media or work, any of the stuff that we're doing content wise. If a social post fails to post, the team gets a notification. If an email fails and doesn't get sent, we get a notification. If the workflow is broken, we get a notification, right? And it just goes into a special Slack channel for like errors or system errors. But that's pre-crisis, right? And that stuff hits. I still get those notifications, but eventually what's going to happen is I can't look at that stuff because that is an immediate distraction for me again, because I need to fix shit when it's broken. So when I see that, that's the first thing I do. I stop whatever I'm doing and I go into this. And it may not even be like an urgent thing that needs to be fixed right away. But that's just the way my brain works. So eventually
like
I have
candy for a child.
Yes. So I have to like, eventually I'm going to have to remove myself from that notification workflow because that's not, the team will tell me when there is something urgent that I need to like focus on like immediately. The other tip, right? So build these automations and these notifications to get ahead of the crises, right? Before they happen and kind of help your team be not so chaotic, because my team doesn't need me to be all like crazy up in crisis, right? Calm state workflows. So what I like to call this like gamifying non-urgent productivity. So when things are calm, like I said, I have my list, so I'm continuously learning and educating. So I do the same thing for the team. Andrea really wanted to do video editing and learn more. So she's not only our social community manager and deals well with social media and content and assets in that part of the team. She's also doing the video production and the editing of all the videos because she wanted to. So when things were calm, we set her up with classes and courses and stuff like that. So that is a really, really great way to gamify your non-urgent productivity, right? Like if things are rocking and rolling and you have this kind of lull, that's not a bad thing. It means things are working and you don't have to fill it with shit. So go learn something new. Learn something new that's about for the business that will help move the business forward, but learn something new. Like if YouTube right now, Nat and I are all about YouTube and we're going to be like rocking and rolling on YouTube and growing our YouTube channels. And we've kind of figured this LinkedIn thing out. So now we're on YouTube and we're going to go down that train. There are ways to use the kind of the calm as, you know, to help it be productive and not just kind of sit there staring at the screen. And that doesn't mean you have to, you take a vacation if things are working. I will tell you, if that's your default, that's when shit breaks, by the way. When it's really calm and you're like, oh, I'm going to go away for the week. And then boom. Anyway, conditional logic is the third thing that I had on my list. So in your task system or your CRM or whatever, which it kind of goes along with that kind of time-triggered pre-crisis prompt like thing or workflows. When you use conditional logic in your workflows, you're kind of redistributing pressure before the crisis hits. So it really goes along with those automations and pulse checks in the very beginning of that list of if then statements, like if this is broken, do this. If this is not broken, do this. So you can set that up for every single workflow that you do. So for example, for Anthony, if there's not a phone number associated with a contact, well, he's a sales guy that does cold calling. Obviously he can't call that person, but he can still email them. So if there's no phone number now, we've done a really cool thing. Maybe somebody has multiple numbers, right? Like I said, I have a cell phone and I have a personal, whatever. Or if there's two numbers on that contact record. So what we've done is we check to see if there's a secondary phone number. And if there's a secondary phone number, but there's not an original phone number, we clear the first one. And then the second one now becomes the primary number. And now it gets added into his call list. So that's a condition, an example of a conditional logic, right? If there's no phone number, clear that field out. If there's a secondary phone number, it now becomes a primary phone number and gets dumped into his call list, and now he can call that person. So, or if he has a bad phone number and he clicks bad phone number or whatever on, he's got like a, after he calls, there's a pop-up list that gives him, like, left a voicemail, bad phone, whatever. If he clicks bad phone number, it tags it as bad phone number, and now he has a list in his system that's all bad phone numbers, right? So what's he going to do? Well, he's either going to take that back to the brand he's working with and try to get a new list, or he's only going to send emails to those people and not call them, or SMS. Like, obviously, you can't send an SMS either. So he now has a path forward that still allows him to use the lists smartly. Crisis averted. There's now no crisis because he now doesn't have to be like, oh my God, there's no phone numbers, and freak out. Nope, the system is doing it for him. Like, here's your list of no phone numbers. Yeah. They still have emails. Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the system has taken away the pressure in the crisis mode. And that kind of chaotic thing, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? There's no phone numbers. You're not going to do a damn thing. The system's just going to continue to send them emails, and you're just not going to call them. Like, there's nothing we can do about that. The other best thing about this is, like, not letting your... There's no reason for someone like Anthony to get upset about things he can't control. He cannot control that the list people gave him only has half the emails, and maybe the phone numbers don't work. Like, he can't control that. So we can put into place systems in place that eliminate that chaos and frustration. Because you can only control what you can control. He has no control over the quality of the list he gets. None.
Nope.
So what do? We build in the conditional logic into the CRM for that kind of crisis mode. All right, we beat this to a dead. Dad, we beat the horse here. Like, anyway, that was a very long wrap up, but you guys get the gist of it. Just use what you have. Use the tools in your brain. Use a person. Use the system. Like, you don't have to. You don't have to live chaotically, even if your brain wants to be that. Come up with what works for you during those chaotic times. Create your old word vomit list and go out and learn something new. Find a hobby. I don't know. Take up knitting. Don't take up knitting. Only if you send me a scarf. I think all that's
right. That's it.
We're like, all right. I think that's it, guys. What else? Anything else, Anthony? Did I miss anything?
No, I think we're good. I mean, speaking of which, I now have to, and the beautiful thing about this is that I was able to get everything done up until this point, including this recording, but thankfully with DMC, with this, all this automation, I now am able to, right on time, drive my daughter to her volunteer work. It's wonderful.
And that's that right there. Is what we're all about. It's not about software. It's not about systems. It's not about processes. It's not about any of it. The goal is to build a lifestyle that works for you, that you love, that you genuinely love. Every day you wake up and you love your lifestyle, whether it's work, whether it's personal, doesn't matter. It gives you the freedom to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And that's the goal. That's the goal that we're all striving to. Yep. All right, guys. Technology, operations. It's all only good when it works. And doesn't matter if you're chronically automated or not. It's the same for everyone. If the technology is broken, it doesn't have anything to do with whether you have a chronic illness. And we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in. And bye, everybody.
Bye.